This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. Around New England, late spring and summer arrive with a flurry of classical music festivals. Keith Powers writes about classical music for WBUR's The Artery, and he joins us now. Keith, good morning.
Good morning.
First, I'm curious about the seasonal impact. The warmer months definitely have more of a carefree vibe. How does that tend to affect which people land in the audience for classical concerts, and how does it affect the repertoire?
Well, I think from an audience point of view, it's very local. Instead of people traveling to concerts, people are usually seeing things that are close to their home. That's just kind of a general rule. And obviously, audiences dress the way they want. Flip-flops are the rule of order if you want. And the setting is usually quite carefree. Picnics are encouraged in a lot of places. Sometimes concerts are outdoors. A lot of concerts are outdoors. Concerts are in churches. They're in barns sometimes, if that's appropriate, in art galleries, lots of places where the setting is kind of as important as the music that's going on.
Mm-hmm. And how do the performers adjust what they present?
To cast it broadly, it's chamber music and not symphonic music. So the settings are more intimate, not only for the audience, but for the players themselves. You see piano trios, you see string quartets, a lot of times just a piano and a singer, something like Dvorak. During the concert season in December, you might hear Dvorak's New World Symphony or one of the other symphonies. But in the summertime, you're going to hear the Dumky Trio, a very famous chamber music piece that is also a calling card of his, but for a much different audience and for a much different setting.
Keith, maybe the most well-known venue for summer classical music festivals around these parts, and one that brings together Bostonians and New Yorkers, is Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. What's in store there this summer?
The BSO just keeps getting better and better in a lot of ways, but of course their new music director, Anders Nelson, it's not new news that he's here, but he's taking more and more interest in the orchestra, and he's spending more time, I forget the exact number, but maybe something like 6 or 8 weeks at Tanglewood this summer, as opposed to 3 or 4. He's performing opening night. He's conducting Mahler's Resurrection Symphony. Also, they have an artist in association for the first time in their history, Thomas Adess, a composer and pianist, quite fine conductor as well, and Adess is out there. Those things are important to audiences that follow the orchestra because they get a small glimpse of him during the season, but he's in residence there in the summer. Also, they have an artist in residence who's Jean-Yves Thibaudet, the French pianist, and that's also a first for the orchestra, committing to one artist, and they haven't really delineated what that's going to be, but he's going to be there.
Now, a lot of Bostonians over the years sort of got their introductions to the world of classical music with the free Boston Pops concerts on the Esplanade, and now it seems the Boston Landmarks Orchestra is kind of carrying that torch.
Definitely carrying the torch, and it's a wonderful thing, really. Free concerts on the Hat Shell. I'm there Wednesday evenings. I think they start at 7 o'clock, and it's still a great orchestra made up of Boston's best freelancers. Terrific conductor there, Christopher Wilkins. And they are carrying the torch that the BSO used to do with the Esplanade Orchestra and now no longer does.
You've written about the Rockport Chamber Music Festival going through some changes. What is happening on the North Shore these days at that really striking theater on the ocean?
About 10 years ago, a group of board members decided they wanted a better venue. They played in the Rockport Art Association in the back gallery, which was a barn, an 1800s barn. And it was quaint and charming, paintings all over the walls, but in fact, it was not air-conditioned. The creature comforts were terrible. The green room was an old paint supply room with turpentine in it, and they decided they wanted better. So they built this beautiful hall, the Shilin Lu Performance Center. And not only did that, but changed a 6 or 1 month festival, 6 week festival, into a year-round venue. They are an example of a festival really growing up into something bigger than they were before.
And Keith, after all this transformation, the artistic director, David DeVoe, is leaving.
It was his mission to upgrade the festival from a performance level and a repertory level, and he did that. He's connected well. He's performed and recorded lots and lots of music, performed on the international and national stage. Now, people and performers come to the Shilin Lu Performance Center because of the venue. It's so beautiful. But they also come for the music and to experience things. Listen to David playing the last movement of the Schubert E-flat major trio here, and you get a sense that the sound is precise and interesting, but also kind of it's speaking to you, speaking directly to you.
Obviously, you attend classical music performances year-round. For you personally, what's the distinct appeal of the summer festivals?
Well, I like the different audiences and a greater appreciation of the musicians and the music being played because of the intimate factor.
Well, Keith Powers, thank you.
You're welcome.
You'll find Keith Powers' roundup of 14 summer spots to take in classical music and his article about the retiring director of the Rockport Chamber Music Festival on The Artery at WBUR.org. This is 90.9 WBUR.